up in the morning and I ask myself, it's like worth living, shut up. I mean, it was just a great discussion, you know, and there's a lot of things that we started with, and like I said, it was a long, grueling day, but Tom always understands how much I've respected him and how much I appreciate the first opportunity that he gave me, and I've been able to convince him that to give me another opportunity, and I won't let him down.
Bobby, last week?
Well, as soon as he, you know, had the opportunity to go to Texas, you put in your mind that I wonder if I have an opportunity to do this. And, you know, it was different than the first time. You know, the first time everything moved really fast, and maybe the time was the same, but this time it seemed like it took forever, you know, and I was sitting there waiting for Tom. And actually, I first heard about the interest from Todd Stewart. You know, Tom contacted Todd Stewart, and Todd Stewart called me and said that Tom had contacted him and had interest in me and would be giving me a call.
Welcome back in the Zone. That's Bobby Petrino. It's an introductory press conference today. Todd Stewart, for those of you who don't know, is the athletic director at Western Kentucky. And what a tough call for him to take, and an even harder call for him to have to make to Bobby Petrino, because I'd have been like, well, Tom, he's not available. Thanks for calling. Have a great day. Instead, he calls Bobby, gives him an opportunity to go back to Louisville. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, there's a few things here on this. First of all the negative pub that Arkansas got when they hired Bobby Petrino because of his background, and of course he's added some baggage to that since then, is now directed at Louisville, and they're catching a bunch of it. I'm going to read some excerpts from a couple of guys who are all over Louisville about the hiring. You know, the other thing is, how much ill will is there in Louisville? I mean, for him to walk out. Now, he was there 4 years. He won a BCS game. He took him to a couple of bowl games. You know, certainly they were very successful. They were putting guys in the NFL. The program has headed the right direction. But they ran into some of the same issues that Arkansas did when he left. There were recruiting issues, and they struggled a little bit right out of the gate after he left. So, and he also flirted with a few other, you know, programs in the meantime while he was there. More on that in a second. I mean, it's a really unique deal for him to circle back around and end up back at Louisville. Now, it would be much easier to see him circle back around to Louisville than it would to circle back around to Arkansas. But it's still a little bit of a unique deal. And it's not like this is a new AD. This is the same AD that he dealt with before. Now, whether or not the guy's a great football coach is not for debate. I think 83-30 speaks for itself. He's had an incredible run as a college football coach. And as a coordinator, he's a darn fine coordinator, too.
And the record is the reason he's there. I mean, that's what you're going to be judged on when it comes down to being a head coach in college football. That's what it comes down to.
Calls on this in a second. Let me get a couple things in here, and then we'll go to the phones. And I've got a few other clips from Bobby Petrino today at his press conference. This is from Mark Schlabaugh, ESPN.com. Somehow Petrino fooled them again, just like he hoodwinked Falcons owner Arthur Blank and Arkansas athletic director Jeff Long. Now Jurich has been blinded by the glorious possibilities of victories and championships again. What's even harder to believe? That Petrino's actually a changed man. I would love to have a sit-down with Todd Stewart and get his thoughts on the experience of working with Bobby Petrino as an athletic director, because he swore he had changed. I'm going to deal with things differently. I'm going to look at him not just as a player, but as a person. Did he deal with people in a little more genteel way, or less a-hole of a way than he did when he was at Arkansas and everywhere else he'd been? The guy lights fires. That's what he does. Sometimes that helps his players be more effective, but certainly doesn't necessarily help build personal relationships.
I'll say this. I mean, I know some people that used to work in the sports information department at Western Kentucky who no longer do. They weren't big fans.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he changed a little bit, but, you know, to what degree does that make him a better person now? I mean, because he was probably Oscar the Grouch times five before.
Yeah, I mean, he's generally speaking, he's an unpleasant man. He's a hard man. He's a mean man, if you want to call him that. He's a profane man. He's got a lot of negatives. But at the end of the day, he gets paid to win football games. And as long as he does that, and he can live with himself at night and come back and do his job the next day, you know, as long as you're willing to tolerate some of the other nonsense that you have to put up with as far as the way he's going to treat his staffers and his players and everybody else, so be it.
This and Jurich knows this getting into this. I mean, he's
been there.
He can't be any surprised.
I cannot imagine. I mean, look, I just can't imagine you want to get back, you know, in business with this guy, knowing you're going to. The thing is, if Jurich feels 100% that he can be comfortable, I couldn't work with a guy like that as a subordinate, because that's a guy I don't want to have to walk around and be careful about what I'm going to say so I don't set him off. And I don't want to put out fires that this guy's lit with other staff members. I don't want to do that. I don't want to deal with a guy like that. I don't care how good he is. This from StuartMandelSI.com. Bobby Petrino does not enhance student-athletes' experiences. He torpedoes them. And Bobby Petrino is exactly the kind of mercenary that further blurs the line between college and professional sports. Few people are in a position to know that better than Tom Jurich, the Louisville athletic director who, when Petrino was hired as the head coach there from 03 to 06, watched him openly flirt with multiple NFL and college suitors, then gave him a staggering 10-year contract extension to regain his commitment, only to have Petrino bolt for the Atlanta Falcons 6 months later. Jurich's program spent the last several years digging out of the perilous state Petrino left it in, while the coach moved on to get another job at Arkansas, where he napalmed yet another program. Fortunately for Jurich, he eventually found a coach, Charlie Strong, who could lead the Cardinals to glory, but once again, that coach moved on to a more glamorous destination. When you're at a place like Louisville, it's always tough. Now, the good news for them is they now have a major conference to sell. It's a much more attractive job than it was when Petrino first got there. So to say that I'm going to end my career there, which he said today, this is a place that's my destination job. I want to end my career here. This is home. It's easier to believe now because you're in a major conference and a great season there now doesn't just afford you an opportunity to play in a high-level postseason game. It puts you in the four-team playoff if you happen to win the ACC.
And this is why he's hired. I mean, Jurich, the same idea, he's looking where his program is going and saying, well, we're on a bigger stage now. You know, we're expected to do bigger things now in this conference. We're going to have a shot maybe at winning a national title. You want to have the right man in there. And I guess he must trust him as far as the decisions for his football team to put him in that position.
All I know is there's a $10 million buyout. I don't know how long that lasts. That was mentioned at the press conference today. I don't have all the details on the contract. I'm sure more that will come out as the day goes on. Bill. Bill?
This is the second time.
Bill gave up twice. Hey, Corndog.
Hey, man. What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Well, you know, that was one thing I was going to say is the, you know, the $10 million buyout definitely helps enhance the fact that, you know, it's you know, possibilities there for him to stay there a long time. I wonder if there's a morality clause, because that was the one thing that always kind of bugged me, because, you know, when he got fired at Arkansas because of, you know, what he did, the buyout got canceled. And so he basically, it almost seems like that's an escape hatch, you know. All I got to do to get out of this $10 million buyout is do something that, you know, morally wrong or ethically wrong to you know, to get me fired. And then the buyout doesn't apply on either side. But, you know, I never have really cared for him much and his, some a lot of his, you know, analyst work. But the deal with Bobby Petrino and all his faults and everything he's done, and I'm not a defender of him. I don't really care for him. I'm kind of like you. I think he comes across as a sleazebag. But the stuff at Atlanta is a little unfair because Arthur Blank sold him a bill of goods, you know, and I think Arthur Blank has to take just as much responsibility for Bobby leaving as Bobby does.
I've never lost sleep over an NFL breakup, whether it was a coach being fired. Because they'll can coaches halfway through the season, too. That's a whole different animal. It's a whole different deal.
Yeah. And one thing, I noticed that last night, I didn't watch the game. I listened to part of it, and I just had to turn it off. It was killing me. But the shooting, I mean, what was going on with the shooting? I mean, Michael Qualls was like, what, 1 of 12?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other team, A&M shot a better percentage from the three-point line than we did from the field.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I mean, that's just,
it's not good.
How can you go that cold in shooting?
I don't know.
Why are you not putting somebody else in to give them a try instead of letting these kids just keep throwing up bricks?
Corndog, you played a dozen guys. Here's the thing. If I could figure out why teams shoot terrible in an individual game and I could actually quantify that in some way, I'd be a billionaire because I would sell it to every college program in America and a few NBA teams too.
Well, let me ask you something. Is there any chance that there's any variance in the rims enough to make a difference? Because I know during tournament time, those rims are totally different than each. I mean, they come out there with a torsion-type feel, and they measure them. They get them exactly tournament standards. Is it possible that that could have anything to do with it?
I think the tightness of them might be a little different here and there. There's forgiveness to it. But
there's an allowable
the...
amount, though. There is a measurement on that you can only have them so at a certain level. That's not the problem. When you're talking about layups and dunks that were missed, I mean,
sure.
It wasn't defense that stopped them.
They're at the rack. I mean, and they held them to 69. That's an Arkansas win every other game this year. So
you're right. The layups are inexcusable. There's no reason for that.
No, exactly.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. All right. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, y'all may have answered my question, but I didn't quite get it all. And that is, how long, like the leaders of Louisville that's hiring Bobby Petrino, how long do you think they're expecting him to stay there at Louisville? And I know they're in the ACC, but if a SEC team offers it to him or something like that that looks more attractive, do they think they're going to have him for 5 years or longer?
I assume so, yes. He's 52 years old, and he's talking about how it's his destination, last job type of thing. I assume they'll have him for they would expect for at least, until he's 60 minimum.
Okay, well, then the other question is, I haven't been keeping up with it because football is still going on pro anyway. How good is Texas A&M? Are they in the top 25? Have they had mid-majors playing them close and beating them? Or
in basketball?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
They're terrible. I mean, this is not a good basketball team. It was a bad loss. They're marginal. They're not going to make the tournament. They're a 500 team at best in conference play. They're not good. It's a bad loss. There's no question. But Arkansas had to play as bad as it's played all year, and A&M played one of its best games this season. They picked a fine time to play well. So,
yeah. Well, I guess that just, looks bad on us. And then back to football real quick. A lot of people are talking about next year, are we going to win six games or – like bowl eligible, like y'all were talking about a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I see, and I sure hate to be bad news, General Ben, but if our pass defense don't get a whole lot better next year, I don't think we'll win six games because any team we can make a quarterback right now that's sorry look like a Heisman Trophy candidate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I mean, everything, I know we got to improve on everything, but that's the thing that concerns me the most. Is our pass defense, and like I said, if we don't improve a whole lot, then I don't see us winning six games. But if that sounds too Debbie Downer, let me know. But just see, I'll hang up. And y'all just comment on that. Talk about, give your opinion.
Gentlemen,
about how much our, yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
I think Arkansas's offensively, the passing game is going to have to improve immensely, and I agree with you 100%. The pass defense is going to have to improve immensely as well for them to have a chance to win next year. I mean, the linebacking core and the defensive backfield is going to have to improve immensely, and I don't know how quickly you can turn that around. I don't necessarily see Arkansas winning six games next year. Mm-hmm. Bill.
Yeah, appreciate you taking my call. I watched the game last night, and the way we play, I mean, on the defensive end, we're out there, we're trying to guard people, and we keep getting beat on the oldest play in the game, the give and go, because our man won't bend his knees and get down and play and stay between his man and the basket. And then when someone drives, the guy moves over to help. Well, that's great, but if you can't get any further away from your guy, then you got to get back and guard him, especially if you know the guy can shoot. I mean, they had two shooters that could shoot the ball pretty good, and they get wide open shots. And another reason is because they work the ball. And then on our end of the court, just because you've got a break and you're going down the court, well, if you don't have, if you don't have the numbers, if you don't have a shot, you pull the ball back out and you run a play. And the reason we don't shoot good is because we force so many shots. We come down the court and try to throw the ball inside before we've ever moved and get people out of position. I mean, the way we play, I mean, it's terrible. In fact, we can't even inbound the ball sometimes. They're so lackadaisical. I just don't get it. I mean, I think Jeff Long's got the problem.
What do you want him to do? He's going
to
hang up.
He wants him to hang up, yeah.
Okay. I wanted you to hang up, too. That's good. We're even.
Bill was good at hanging up, by the way.
Yes, he is. He's a professional. Four hang-ups, one call. One more on Bobby Petrino here. Back at Louisville, how he's different now.
I'm different in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things that have changed. But first and foremost, I keep my focus and my concentration on my family and making sure that everything I do has my family in mind. I think one of the things that's changed so much as a coach and dealing with the student athlete is that I coach the person as much or more than I ever have, not just the player. And you know, once you get on the field, once you get practicing, it's the same. And it's something that I love and truly enjoy. But I can't wait to get on the field and in the, you know, in the weight room and just get to know our players.
Sure, they're thrilled too.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Let me get Johnny in real quick. Johnny, we got to hit a break here in about a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, first off, I'm curious as to when Bobby Petrino's next flare of a compensatory narcissistic personality will happen within the Louisville program. And you are also talking about the Razorback. Barry Melrose, when he coached the Los Angeles Kings, would have Tony Robbins travel with the teams. Razorbacks can't do that. If the players would listen, I think this boils down to psychology. I think if they start running into adversity, they start having episodes of catastrophic thinking, and they start playing outside the team concept and forcing things and sometimes having lapses too. And, you know, if you're shooting close shots and missing layups, it may be something that's in their heads from the struggles they've had on the road.
I got nothing. It all sounds very logical to me, Johnny. I'll buy all of it.
It breaks down to toughness. You know,
go see Coach Anderson and tell him what they need to do. I don't know how you get around that.